Call this special meeting of the Unalaska City Council is called to order at 6 p.m. on Monday, November 10th, 2025. I'll ask Councilman Longo to read our mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. City Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Chastain?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. We do have a quorum. Please join us. I'll ask Councilman Bell to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Welcome to all those present in the chambers and also those that are online. First item we've got this evening is the Extra Mile Award. The Extra Mile Award is presented to citizens within the community who have gone the extra mile to assist the city function, event, or special incident. Catherine and Quentin Parker and Trevor Sleeby are deserving of this distinction. Early in the morning of October 18, 2025, a residential fire broke out at Armstrong Court while Captain Quentin and Trevor happened to be passing by. Recognizing the danger, they alerted the sleeping occupants and urged them to evacuate. Thanks to their quick actions, the residents and their pets were able to escape unharmed before the fire crew arrived. They saved the lives of our community members and prevented what could have been a terrible tragedy. Kat, Quentin, Trevor, your selflessness actions have meaningful difference in the lives of this community. You went above and beyond. Thank you. I present to you the City of Unalaska, the Community Extra Mile Award, this 10th day of November 2025. Thank you. All right, next item is the Oaths of Office. City Clerk will now administer the Oaths of Offices. Oath of, for the Office for the Council CCS, Mr. Zach Chastain, and Police Officer Casey Wilford Wong and Kim Gomera. Please, well, first we'll hear from Mr. Chastain.
Mr. Chastain, please raise your hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Zachary Chastain.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform.
That I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform.
The duties of a member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska.
The duties of the member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska.
In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America.
In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America.
The laws of the State of Alaska.
The laws of the State of Alaska.
And the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska.
And the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska.
I take this oath freely.
I take this oath freely.
Without the least equivocation.
Without the least equivocation.
Mental reservation. Or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Mental reservation or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Congratulations, thank you, Mr. Chef.
Congratulations, Councilman Chastain. Look forward to working with you in the council. Next, we have police officers.
Ms. Wolf. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer, to abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska, and to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the state of Alaska, and the city of Unalaska.
I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer, to abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska, and to observe and uphold the law of the United States, the state of Alaska, and the city of Unalaska.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer the requirement to, at all times, abide by the rules and regulation of the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer the requirement to, at all times, abide by the rules and regulations of the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the city of Unalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and property.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the city of Unalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and property.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office, and I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer. So help me God.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office, and I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer, so help me God.
Congratulations, Officer Wiltfall.
Officer Wiltfalling, I'd like to welcome you to the City of Unalaska and to your new position as a police officer with the City of Unalaska.
Raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer, to abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska, and to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the state of Alaska, and the city of Unalaska.
I do solemnly swear to obey the lawful orders of my superior officer, to abide by the law enforcement professional code of ethics, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska, and to observe and uphold the laws of the United States, the state of Alaska, and the city of Unalaska.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer the requirement to, at all times, abide by the rules and regulation of the city of Unalaska and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety.
I accept as a condition of continued employment as a police officer the requirement to at all times abide by the rules and regulation of the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Department of Public Safety.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the City of Unalaska who have appointed me as guardian of their lives and property.
I affirm my allegiance to the people of the City of Unalaska who have appointed me as a guardian of their lives and property.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office, and I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer, so help me God.
I take this oath knowing full well the responsibility of my office, and I promise to act at all times with integrity, honesty, and honor as a law enforcement officer, so help me God.
Congratulations, Officer Gamera.
Officer Gamera, I'd like to welcome you to the Unalaska Police Department and present you with the badge of your office. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulate the officers that have been appointed for City of Unalaska. Also, Councilman Sashteen, welcome. For the next item of business, may I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle. There's any objections? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approval of the minutes of previous meeting. We have a motion and second to approve the proposed minutes of the meeting held on October
28, 2025. I move to approve minutes of previous meeting, October 28, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Longo. Is there any objections? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to the city manager for his report.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Just some upcoming dates to note that we do have the Alaska Municipal League meeting coming up in Anchorage. That's the week of December 8th, and many of you, and as well as many of my staff, will be there. Tonight, there is a resolution recommending the award of a contract to OCE for the removal and recycling of scrap metal and vehicles. And I think just wanted to point out that it is anticipated to have a decent discussion about the CMMP and priorities at the next meeting, November 25th, for our FY 27 through 36 10-year CMMP. So that's really all I have to point out. If you have any questions, I'm happy to take your question.
Thank you, City Manager. Is there any comments or questions for Bill with the City Manager report? Councilman Luby, do you have any comment?
I did have actually one question about the grant for the fire department. The $60K that was awarded for the feasibility study, did we use that towards the feasibility study to do the new fire station?
That's a good question. I have my fire chief on the line, Mr. Knowles. Anyone might mute him?
We did.
Okay, great. I was just curious if it actually was able to be used for that since it ended in March. And then the next question is the $40K that we were awarded that you want to put towards the ambulance. I was just wondering, is that going to be on top of the $450K that we already approved for a new ambulance with the rolling stock, or is it going to reduce the cost so that we would be at $410 now?
It will reduce the cost.
Okay, great. That's perfect. Thanks. That's all I had.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further comments on the report? Hearing none, thank you for the city manager report. Next item is the community input and announcements. This time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Now you get 3 minutes.
Good evening, Albert for PCR. A few announcements for you. Tomorrow and Wednesday from 6 to 7:30, Santa's going to be stopping by the community center early. So if you've got kids that want pictures with Santa, this is your chance. He won't be at the Holiday Bazaar this year, so this is the shot to get pictures. Again, 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow and Wednesday. Then also, we have Bros Night coming up this Saturday from 5 to 8:30 at the pool. This will include a cardboard boat competition and also a Lego competition. And then we have our annual Holiday Bazaar vendor fair coming up Saturday, December 6th from 11 to 2. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further notices or comments? Public, anyone online or telephone?
No one, sir, made an indication they wanted to make a comment.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you must sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use your microphone. Anyone on Zoom or telephone? Wish to speak? No. Okay, hearing no comments. The next item is the work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session?
Move to go into a work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Longo. Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, we are in a work session at 6:18 p.m. First item is a fiscal year 2025 audit plan with Joy Maringer, and I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor. And it's my pleasure to introduce Ms. Joy Mariner from BDO. Her team was here last week, already with a jump start on the FY 25 audit. And so she's here to kind of go over the audit plan and present that to you and take any questions you may have. Joy, are you on the line?
I am. Hi, everyone.
All right, please go ahead.
Is it okay if I share my screen with you all?
Sure.
Okay. Well, thank you all for being here today and for giving me the chance. I might not be able to share my screen, actually. Let me know if you can see that.
Karen, Carolyn's making it say you can. Hold on a minute.
Oh, okay. Or you can just share that plan with the council and we can use that, whatever you'd like.
You try again.
Okay. Joy. Yeah. There you go. Is that better?
Yes, we can see it.
Awesome. Great. Well, hi, everyone. Joy Mariner and I serve as the lead partner on the audit for the city. Pleasure to be with you all here today and to give you an update on the status of the audit and our plan for the audit. We actually were in the field last week and things are going very well, right on schedule, actually, maybe a little ahead of schedule from where we had planned to be even just a couple months ago. So your team seems very prepared. We already have a draft of your financial statements, but I wanted to cover with you as council members kind of what our plan for the audit is, our risk areas, and the main things that we look to for the audit process, and then also give you a chance to share with me and my team. I have Kelly Mays here with me today. She's the director on the engagement. Joe Siren is our manager. And then Eden Murchison is also with us and she's our senior. So if you have questions or things that you want to bring up here in the work session that you would like us to address, we'll also pause for questions and then have time available for that. So the audit plan really just discusses a few kind of things. The first is the timeline. So as I mentioned, we were there last week for year-end field work. We started planning the audit actually really in September, doing our walkthrough procedures, getting ready to be there on site. And then we do plan to issue the financial statements next month in December and present our final communications to you as the council, either in December or January council meetings, depending on the schedules. But we will be ready to go. The one thing I'll just mention this year in terms of just overall strategy, we do use a risk-based approach. This is always the case. So the nature, extent, and timing of our audit procedures that we plan is based on areas where there are risks of material misstatements. So some areas, for example, cash and investments, those always present a risk, but they're fairly straightforward to audit. We send confirmations to your banking institutions. We look for areas that there may be some cutoff issues. Those kinds of things are fairly what we consider to be normal risk. And then we also have areas where we would consider to be higher risk, which we'll talk about in a minute. This year, you also have a federal single audit because you met the threshold for your expenditures of federal awards. This is related to the ARPA money that you spent down in 2025. So we will be performing an audit in accordance with the uniform guidance. Many of you in the past have heard this called a single audit. And one thing I do just want to note with you, if I go back a couple of slides back to the timeline, the single audit is a little bit of an unknown with the shutdown and delays on the administrative side. We do not have the federal compliance supplement finalized yet. So we are not, the federal government hasn't issued their final guidance for single audits this year. So we can't issue your federal single audit until they do. And so we have the draft version. We have done the testing. We're working through the reviews of the single audit work. but we may release the financial statements without the single audit reports because of the delays on the federal side. So just know that we say we'll be done in December, but it may be that that federal audit does not issue until later. It's not due until March. I can't imagine the federal government would take longer than the due date to produce the information that requires you to meet the due date, but that is one nuance that I did want to point out to you as the council. So as you know, as I said, scoping responsibility, we do have that single audit this year. And I always remind people that these are your financial statements that we're auditing, and you prepare them. You hire a consultant that assists you with preparing them, and then Jim spends a lot of time getting all the information together. They are not our financial statements. We're coming in to form an opinion on the statements to determine whether they have been presented fairly. A couple other things here, and I'll just kind of mention, is that we do look at compliance with certain laws and regulations, contracts, grant agreements. We do this as part of our auditing procedures and our standard audit procedures, and would report any of those items back to you. And this is a, from our side of things, a plan. Although we have been on site already for final field work, I feel pretty confident that these are the main areas that we would look at. We look at lots of things to determine what to audit. We look at last year, we look at the inherent risks within the cities itself, your industry or environment there, economic conditions. Also look at recently issued financial reporting guidance. There is a new standard this year, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then your critical and significant accounting policies and procedures. I will just note that there have been a lot of updates and areas of adjustment on your side of things for your what we can call internal controls. So those checks and balances, things have really been going well with this year's audit. We were able to get a lot of our samples pulled before we went into the field, and we're able to get a lot of the information ahead of time, which really made the audit process go very well. So what you know, we did document any changes in your policies and procedures during the year. And then we also look at the control environment. That's you here in the room, the council. So we actually read your minutes of your meetings, the resolutions and ordinances that you pass, and any changes that you make to city code or to your policies and procedures. A couple other things I'll just mention is that we do look at your IT systems and how you use them, what's automated, what's happening automatically in the background that could impact our audit strategy. And then I'll just kind of briefly mention a couple of risk areas. Our two main areas of risk that we are considered to have significant risk. These two areas, one is fraud risk and management override of controls. The other is related to revenue recognition. And these are required under the auditing standard. So we didn't have additional areas of significant risk that we identified outside of the few that the auditing standards require us to look at. When it relates to management override, really what we're looking for, or specifically, is we're looking at journal entries. So where you got something that got coded, maybe an expense got coded initially here, and then it got moved. That might be more significant of a risk if something got changed from where it was initially coded. And we don't look at everything that got changed, but things that maybe got changed to certain accounts. And just making sure that if it relates to a significant or unusual transaction or an estimate, we would flag those and look at those more closely. And report to you if we found anything that didn't look correct. We also look at the existence of revenue and making sure that we feel comfortable with your charges for services for your revenue streams. And this year, in particular, we're looking at some of the charges for services related to the utilities and some of the other activities and cost of power in particular. Other areas of risk include just the financial statements, interfund transactions, your landfill pensions, related party transactions, and then personnel changes, and those impacts that they may have to your processes and your procedures internally. I'm going to pause there because I want to talk about kind of questions you may have for me or things that you may want to share. But are there any questions about our areas of significant risk or our audit approach or timeline?
Well, thank you, as a council, any questions or comments at this point on risk? Councilman Ruby?
No real questions. I would say thank you for meeting with me last week ahead of time, and I enjoyed that. And also, I just want to say thanks to staff for helping expedite the whole process. It sounds like it's going really well.
Okay, thank you. If there's no comments at this time, we can continue, please.
Great. So in terms of just inquiry, those charged with governance, as mentioned, our team was able to meet with Councilman Luby last week and the mayor. And I think for us, it's really important that you know that we work for you as the council and for the public more generally. We are certified public accountants. So if there's any of these areas here related to kind of inquiries with those charged with governance, that's the council that you want to bring up to our attention. We do meet with management, we read your minutes, but if there's anything in particular that you want us to look at in any of these areas, these are just meant to kind of get you thinking about things that you might want to share with us if they aren't really already publicly disclosed. Please do that. You don't have to do that during the work session. You can contact us individually. Our contact information is at the very front of the document. But our goal here is to make sure that you feel comfortable with your city's finances and that there's a high degree of trust and transparency with us as your auditors. You know, I think the only other thing I'll just say there is if there's anybody who wants to bring something up now, I'm certainly happy to answer questions as to what we're doing in any of these areas, but I don't have any other specific things that have been brought to our attention by your team that I need to share with the council in terms of how we would approach our audit. And then I also have in here just a little bit about our quality management. I don't have a slide on it, but I mentioned really briefly, I'm going to back up just a second, is changes in accounting standards. And you do have a new standard this year with compensated absences that should not have a major impact to the city. So I'm not going to spend time on it. Just know that your team with Jim and Dan's help have really been evaluating all of the new standards as they come out to determine if they have any sort of significant impact for you as the city. So with that, we do have a link to our quality reports. You can always take a look at those, and I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may all have.
Thank you, Council. Do you have any further questions at this time? And we should have a listing of items that may want to make a direct call to her to get some questions answered. Councilman Coleman.
Hi, thank you. You said there were changes to accounting standards. I was just curious, is there a governing board or something that, well, changes them?
Or that are... Yes. Yeah, it's a great question. So all governments are governed by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. So there's a kind of a private company board for the private companies. They call that the Financial Accounting Standards Board. So FASB. GASB has their own Governmental Accounting Standards Board, and they issue new GASB pronouncements periodically. I think when I started doing this type of work 25 years ago, they were at, you know, GASB 20, and now we're at GASB 103, I think goes in effect next year, 102. So this year for 2025, you have implemented GASB 101 and GASB 102. GASB 101 is related to the recording of compensated absences and leave balances, sick leave, accrued leave, those kinds of things. And GASB 102 has very minimal impact to the city because it relates to risks, disclosure of certain risks and uncertainties, that kind of thing, which I think are already fairly properly disclosed, wouldn't require any additional disclosure in their statement. So no specific impact to the city this year. But yeah, they're issuing standards periodically, a couple every year. And I think a few years ago, you probably remember when we implemented the new lease standard, that was a really big lift for your team. And that lease standard now is already included in your financial statements.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Councilman Tungle?
You said on the single audit, I still don't have the federal law, but you can send us the financial report without that.
Correct. So we'll do all the work for the federal single audit because they did release a draft compliance supplement, but they have not issued the final. And so we cannot submit, you can't submit your report to the clearinghouse without the final being released. So we'll get it all done. We'll have all the work done for the federal compliance audit, but we'll just release the financial statements and wait to release the federal until the federal government issues those regulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Luby, any questions you may have at this time?
No, no further questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you very much for the time that we had to discuss the audit when you were here, and appreciate it, and thank you for the report.
Great, thank you. Have a great meeting.
Thank you, Joy.
Now we'll receive public comment. There's any public comment in the chambers? Any on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none, I'll request a motion and a second to return to regular session.
I make a motion to return to regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Longo, second by Councilman Coleman. Are there any objections? Return to regular session. Hearing none, we're back in regular session at 6:33. We are now on regular agenda. Persons wish to speak on the regular agenda must sign up with the city clerk. Is there anyone that has signed up?
No, sir. No one signed
anyone
up.
Anyone on Zoom or telephone? Okay. Next, this item at this time is the Cannabis Committee report and certification of a municipal runoff election for school board seat SBC November 4th, 2025. I'll turn it over to city manager.
Well, thank you, Mayor. But I'm going to defer to our city clerk since this is one of the things that she enjoys doing and is part of her regular duties. So, as Carlin.
Thank you, Mr. Homka. So, the Canvas Committee report is included in the packet as well as our certification of the election of the runoff. I'm glad to let you know that for this year runoff, we had an increase in voter turnout because the last time we had a runoff election, also for the school board seat, the turnout was just 140, which is 8%, but for this year, we had 303 total votes. So that is 17% increase of the votes, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that council might have.
Thank you. Thank you for that report. Good job. Thank you, the staff and the committee. Any questions for City Clerk? Councilman Tungo?
I move to certify the result of November 4, 2025 runoff election as presented by the election board and the Canvas Committee.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, second by Councilman Longo to certify the elections of 2025. Any objection? Hearing none, I'll ask for a roll call.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Shastin?
Yes.
Roll call vote of 6-0, approving the election results for 2025 has been approved. Next item is Ordinance 2025-14, amending Unalaska Code of Ordinance 3.40.040 to adopt a new pay range matrix to apply at 2.6% cost of living increase effective January 1st, 2026. We have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 2025-14 and schedule it for public reading, hearing, and second reading on November 25th, 2025.
So moved.
Moved by Councilman Chastain. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you. So Ordinance 2025-14 will adjust the pay matrix for Title III unrepresented positions to apply a cost of living adjustment, or commonly known as COLA. Staff and our compensation consultant recommend that the pay matrix be maintained annually with a cost of living adjustment. The last meeting, after reviewing information that was presented to council, it was recommended to implement the COLA this year at 2.6%.
Thank you, City Manager. Are there any questions or comments from the council? Councilman Luby?
No questions.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions? Okay, hearing none. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up for this.
Restate the motion. The motion is to approve Ordinance 2025-14, amending UCO 3.40.040 to adopt a new pay range matrix to apply at 2.6% cost of living increase effective January 1st, 2026, and introduce a second reading on November 25th. Roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Thank you. With this vote, the council has introduced Ordinance 2025-14 and scheduled it in a public hearing and second reading on November 25th, 2025. Next item is Resolution 2025-62, authorizing a city manager to enter into an agreement with OC Environmental Services, LLC for scrap metal and vehicle disposal and recycling services in the amount of $808,358. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2025-62.
I move to adopt Resolution 2025-62.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Longo, second by Councilman Coleman. I'll turn this over to the City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mayor. To Resolution 2025-62, staff requests the City Council authorize the City Manager to enter into an agreement with OC Environmental Services, LLC, or OCE, to ship approximately 1,200 tons of scrap metal and 250 derelict vehicles to Seattle, Washington for the amount of $808,358. Staff recommends approval and I support their recommendation.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Councilman Longo, please continue. Dungo.
I'm going to stop at the landfill. Are we clearing up on this? Is it going to pretty much, 100% of it, or pretty much 50%?
It's my understanding that we're going to get rid of 1,200 tons and all those 250 vehicles, that it's been a while since we've done that.
So how much we got right now in there? I know what we're shipping.
It'll get rid of all the vehicles that are in there.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure if we get rid of all the metals. Mr. Hernandez? Mr. Hernandez is approaching the podium.
Good evening. Yes, that is the plan. We had about 1,100 tons at the time of the RFP. So we estimate that we'll have more than that quantity by the time the barge is here. So the plan is to clear all of that material that is at the landfill.
So this is just for the city, right? This is exclusively metal and cars for the city.
That's correct.
And we should be able to, I assume you bring a barge?
Yes, that's OC's
scope. And we'll be able to fill up that barge with what we got and be able to ship everything we got.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Donald. Councilman Bell?
My comments are and questions are kind of along the same lines as once we do this. I assume we've got a full barge load worth of scrap metal as it sits. But looking down the road at the future, more scrap vehicles, we anticipate over the years. But as a bigger problem, just scrap metal in general. It's not hard to go through town and find, abandoned forklifts and backhoes and bulldozers and, one-ton trucks or bigger that have, are just sitting there rotting. And in some cases, that the charge you get rid of is by the ton. So, you're looking at, $3,000 to $8,000 cost to try and dispose of these. Which is probably why they're still sitting around, but as a longer term solution, are we moving in that direction? And I appreciate the work that staff has done up to this point. So thank you.
Was that a question, sir?
Well, we're doing this, but have we thought ahead or are we looking at expanding this program to meet those needs in the future?
Yes, without announcing anything, because we need to bring something to all of you if we indeed intend to proceed. But we are looking for how to address, the continued problem of abandoned vehicles and, scrap metal accumulating throughout our community, trying to do something like this more regularly. And if indeed we wanted to do some sort of incentive using some grant funds or other funds that we have, that would take an act of council, because that would take a change in a rate. If we're going to do something, say, as a lower rate for 2 months or 3 months to help encourage or incentivize people to bring things. So there's a couple of ways to dice this up. There's also, issuing nuisance violations. There are a lot of scrap cars that are in yards that until now we really didn't have the means or the way or the place to tow some of these things. And now having a lot of cars in a residential area is actually using your residential lot as a junkyard. And that's kind of the two different prongs that I'm looking to take. So we do aim to clean up our community and keep it that way.
Thank you.
So council may be looking at getting some kind of a scale to pay for any future vehicles owned by the public or companies down the road. I think that's something we're going to have to look at. How we're going to collect that is another item, but we need to have something in place before we can move forward. Good questions, though. Thanks. Any further questions, Councilman Luby?
I don't really have any questions, but I'll make a comment that I'm actually really happy to see that the contract is being awarded to a local company who employs local residents. So I'm happy to see that OC won that award.
Okay, thank you. When this does, Councilman Chastain.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely support this. I want to echo Councilman Luby's kind of assessment of. Can you hear me okay? You can't hear me okay. Okay. Yeah, I want to echo Councilman Luby's assessment. Like, this is great that it's going to a local organization and the money's going to stay in our community. I think that's huge. I kind of look at this as a second phase, if you will. The first one being when the city worked with Ron Moore and was able to evacuate all those vehicles through Ron Moore. This is a second stage of that, effectively. And hopefully, if it works, we'll do these more frequently. I don't have much of an appetite to hear about nuisance citations or violations being issued, and I would really encourage the city, which I'm sure would happen anyhow, to take very proactive measures to work with property owners who may have vehicles on their property to get those vehicles off their property. I know, having dealt with this in my prior role, removing somebody's vehicle from leased property, you can't do it in Alaska. The property owner has to be the one that does it, which is a very challenging thing for a lot of organizations. So I just really encourage the city to work very proactively with the property owners who may have vehicles on their property and really try to avoid issuing nuisance violations. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Shustin. Any further questions? Okay. Let's see. Has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. Motion and seconded to introduce Ordinance 2025-14 and schedule it for public hearing second reading on November. Oh, excuse me, wrong one. I read that one already. Request a roll call vote on the motion on the resolution 2025-62.
Miss Luby?
Come in, yeses.
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Shasteen?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungel?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. That vote, the council has adopted resolution 2025-62. Next item is resolution 2025-63, authorizing the city manager to enter into agreement with Alaska Permanent Fund Capital Management, Permanent Capital Management Company, APCM, as the investment manager. May have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2025-63.
Move to adopt resolution 2025-63.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungel. Turn this over to city manager for introduction.
Thank you. So yes, resolution 2025-63 authorizes the city manager to enter into an agreement with Alaska Permanent Capital Management Company as our investment manager. And it also will approve the fees as outlined in the agreement, which I attached to the memo. This is near the last step to have our sustainability fund complete and in place. So by adding the new fund, we had to amend our agreements and account for managing the new fund. So I recommend approval of the attached agreement. I have Mr. Bill Learman from APCM on the call if you have any questions for him.
Okay, thank you, City Manager. Any questions or comments regarding the resolution 2025-63 or APCM? Councilman Luby?
No questions.
Thank you. Councilman Coleman?
I'll go.
We're having somebody. There's no comment, further comments from the council. I'll ask city clerk, has anyone signed up for public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
I restate the motion. Motion is to approve resolution 2025, authorizing city manager to enter an agreement with Alaska Permanent Capital Management Company as the investment manager. Request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luke. Ms. Coleman.
Yes.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Ms. Luby.
Yes.
Mr. Shasteen.
Yes.
Mr. Tungel.
Yes.
Mr. Longo.
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0, resolution 2025-63 has been approved. I want to thank the APCM management company for all the work they've done this last year and look forward to working with them again. Next item is the executive session. I'll request a motion and a second going to executive session.
I move to go into executive session to receive report from Workplace Solution regarding personal investigation pursuant to UCO 2.16.070B 1 and 2. Present at this executive session will be the mayor, city council members physically present, city manager Bill Amka, city council member Luby, city attorney Sam Severin, and Consultant Millie Cosgrove, who are participating remotely.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Longo to go into the executive session. is there any objections? Hearing none, we'll be in executive session 6:53. PM. Then we're back in regular session at 9:11 PM. No action taken during the executive session. And having completed all items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 9:12 PM.